Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. This week, we are going to talk a little bit about mental health and self-worth, self-love. And I'm going to share a little bit of my experience in this area. And I am going to give you some advice and some words of encouragement on your own mental health journey, your own self-love journey. And hopefully help you, like always, to not feel so alone and to, you know, just be a voice of encouragement on your specific journey. Before we jump into that, there is so many exciting things coming up before 2019 is over. We still have several weeks left. It feels like the year is coming to an end. I always feel like as soon as summer's over, the rest of the year just kind of flies by. And I don't want the rest of the year to just fly by. I don't want us to just say, oh, you know, it's the end of September. Guess the year's over. It's too late to do anything productive. I used to be that way. And I don't want you guys to feel that way. So we have a lot of good stuff to talk about before the year is over. I'm going to be breaking the last 3 months down into specific topics to help us really just stay on topic. I will still throw in some of these, you know, just this is what's on my mind this week kind of podcasts and things like that. But we are going to be breaking the next 3 months down into mind for October, budget for November, and nest for December, or basically your home. And we'll talk more about that next week as we kick off this whole, you know, wrapping up the last 3 months of the year, the fourth quarter, ending on a high note, all of that good stuff. And I'm going to help you really finish this year strong. If you guys have not checked out my new course, Control Your Crazy, we are going to be kind of going on that same theme of the controlling your crazy kind of vibe for the next 3 months with the podcast and with what you'll see me post on social media, what you'll see in the Rise and Shine newsletters, all that kind of stuff. So if you're not familiar with the Control Your Crazy course, definitely jump over and check that out. I'll put the link in the show notes. If you are one of the ladies that is already a student, you already know what we are going to be diving into. So it's not going to be the exact same topics, obviously, because the content that you get on a podcast and the content that you get in a full course with videos, with a workbook, with slides, with all that stuff, it's completely different. As far as how the content is delivered and the level of depth that we're able to go into. There's just some things that when I only have audio through a podcast that I just can't express. And the same with a social media post. It's this, like, text is not the same as having video, audio, workbook, like all of the mediums, right? So it is going to be along the same theme, but not word for word the same exact stuff. Does that make sense? So just know that we have a lot of good stuff coming up for the end of the year. I'm going to be hosting again. This is going to be the second year of me hosting my goal setting 101 workshop. So I'm going to be hosting it again live towards the end of October. I'll put the early sign up link for that as well in the show notes. The 2020 power sheets are coming out in just a few days, really, October 16th. is when they launch. They have brand new covers. They just revealed the covers the other day. I'm obsessed. I'm getting the Blooms cover. I've decided there's no yellow this year. 2019, I did get the yellow cover, but there's no yellow. So I'm going to do the full, the Blooms, the flowers. So if you're going to get Power Sheets, let me know what cover you're getting. I'm really curious to see. We're going to be digging in more into all of that goal setting and everything as we wrap up the year on a high note. So without further ado, let's dig into this week's topic. So there is a trend that is going around on Instagram, and my friend V from V Frugal Fox, I'll tag her again in the show notes. If you don't follow her, please follow her. She's amazing. She is also my PR virtual assistant girl. She is my wing girl. Like, she's everything. This business would not be where it is without her. But she has also become one of my best friends and just a constant encouragement, a constant cheerleader. Like, we have become each other's hype squad, which is so amazing to have another woman on a similar journey who understands, you know, where you're coming from, whether that's with money or mental health or just someone to say, no, you're amazing, post that, people need to hear it, whatever it is. It's always so good to find your people. And I'm just so forever grateful for Instagram for being the medium that has helped me find so many amazing women to go along with on this journey and really find that aspect of community. And so V challenged me, and some friends of hers have been posting too. So I didn't come up with this on my own. I'm not trying to claim it as my own, but it's such an amazing idea that I really wanted to share it this week on the podcast. So V posted a You Are Worth It post, and I was texting her about it, and I was just, you know, saying she's amazing, she's brave, she's helping so many people with just her raw, honest approach to mental health and being honest about her journey and all of her stuff. I'll link to her post in the show notes. It's so worth reading. Different but similar to mine at the same time. You know, we're all on our own journeys, but yet we can find a common ground to relate to each other on, right? And to say, maybe I don't know 100% what you went through, but I feel you. I support you. You know, all of that, and empower each other on our own specific journeys. So I was texting her about it, and she was like, you need to post one. You need to post a You Are Worth It post. And I'm like, you just had to say that, didn't you? And so I'm like, yeah, I will. And I put it off because I just, you know, posting something that honest and that transparent is hard. And I feel like I have gotten better at it over the past year or so. And I've been trying. It was one of my goals for 2019 was to post more transparent, more raw, honest posts. Whether it was like personal topics or money, I have been more sharing more actual numbers of my personal budget, which is hard. I mean, it's like letting people into your bank account, letting people into your journal, into the vulnerable parts of your heart. And it's, you know, it is scary and it is kind of exhausting, but it's always, always worth it because the response I get is from women saying, thank you. Like, that is overwhelming. Overwhelmingly, the response is, thank you for sharing. I needed that. I needed to hear that. And I think, you know, not that I'm the only voice in the podcasting world or in the Instagram world, obviously, but it never hurts to hear it too many times. You know, something this important, something as important as you are worth it. Like, you are worth living. You are worth being here. You are worth investing in yourself. You are worth it. I don't think that any person could hear that message too many times. You know, it's kind of the same. It's silly, but yesterday I got complimented on my shoes. And if you guys have seen my Chacos, they are my like prized possession as far as wardrobe goes. I'm so frugal with my clothes and I'm so minimalist with my wardrobe in general. And buying, like, I think they were like 80 something, almost $90 sandals was a really big deal for me. Even being debt free, I'm still that frugal. Anyway, every single time I wear them, I get a compliment, whether it's in person or like I post on my story and someone says, oh my gosh, I love your shoes. What kind of shoes are those? Or, oh my gosh, Chacos, blah, blah, blah. So yesterday I was at Dollar Tree and I was walking out and I was walking out as a group of girls were walking in. And of course, you know, my children were being as slow as Christmas, taking forever to get out of the door. And I was like, I said, oh, excuse us. I'm so sorry. And they're like, oh, it's okay. And the girl goes, oh, I love your Chacos. And it was such a specific compliment that I was like, thank you. And it literally made my day. Like, it just changed my whole attitude. And I think, you know, it's so easy for us to say, oh, well, I love your shoes. Or is that, did you get a haircut? Is that new? Is, you know, and we compliment each other on silly things. And yes, that does like make our day. But could you ever hear a compliment on your favorite shoes too many times? No. Because every time you're like, yes, I'm obsessed with them too. Thank you for noticing. So could you ever hear the message, you are worth it, too many times? Like, we don't mind hearing something over and over again, like a song or a compliment on our favorite shoes. But when it's something as deep as, you are worth living, you are worth being a part of this world. Now, that's when we start to be like, maybe I shouldn't say that. Like, maybe I shouldn't share. Maybe I shouldn't remind my friend that, like, hey, I'm thinking about you just out of the blue. It's something that I've started doing is a couple of my friends, you know, we all have our own lives and we don't get to see each other all the time. And it's not unusual for me to send a text out of the blue and say, hey, I just was thinking about you. Just wanted to remind you that I love you. I miss you. Or just that I was thinking about you. And I get those messages back. I wake up the other day, I woke up from one of my very best friends and she said, I was just thinking about you and the girls this morning and know that I love you and I'm always praying for you. And that's what I woke up to. And I just think, you know, we could never do that kind of stuff too much. You could never be told that you are worth it too much. You could never be told that you are loved and you are thought about too much. And I think that the best way to receive things like that is to give them in the first place. And so when I started feeling like I needed to hear that kind of stuff, I thought maybe she needs to hear it too. And if she knows that I love her, I support her, I see her, I'm praying for her, I'm thinking of her, that if she knows all that I'm thinking of her, maybe she'll think of me. You know, maybe she'll pray for me as well. maybe she'll take a second to encourage me. And so it's a women supporting women kind of thing. And I feel like life is hard enough. You know, we're alone enough. Why make it harder? Why alienate ourselves even more? So I knew that I had to share my side of this "you are worth it" movement that is starting. And I had to share the honest side of my mental health journey. And I've shared so much with you guys here on the podcast. And I've always tried to keep it as real as I felt comfortable with, which is super hard. Again, it's like, you know, opening pages of your journal and reading them for anyone who wants to listen. That's never easy. Hang on, take a drink of coffee. Okay. And so I'll link to the original post that I put up so you can read it, because I feel like that's, reading it is always different than what exactly I say. And you might want to comment. I would love to read your comments of your thoughts from it, or share the post. You know, even if you don't feel comfortable sharing your own, at least share mine, just to help other women, you know, hear the message. So I share about my mental health, and I share about how I have kind of always suffered from depression and anxiety. And I remember thinking, even as a teenager, thinking not suicidal thoughts. I wouldn't go straight to that, but thinking like, what would this world be like without me? You know, and really feeling like I didn't belong in the world, and feeling like I didn't have a real place, and kind of like some thoughts like that. And I would kind of, it would kind of be a phase, and I would feel better, and, you know, and then obviously it grew from there. And I lost my dad when I was 20. And he was sick for about a year and a half. So that was, you know, that was how I wrapped up my teenage years. That was my first year that I had moved out, and it was a couple of months into my marriage. And so I was really young going through that. So that's basically how I started my adult life. That's, you know, off to a great start. And so I, you know, I dealt with that in my own ways that I dealt with it. And I honestly think that was probably one of the things that I dealt with in the healthiest way possible, which is what I told my counselor when I eventually started counseling. You know, I told her, I said, yeah, I lost my dad when I was 20. And I just want to let you know, I'm kind of good with it. Like, I've worked through it. It's everything else that I kind of pushed to the side and didn't deal with, 'cause I guess everything else wasn't big enough for me to deal with. But with him, like with losing my dad, we kind of had to deal with it, as a family. And so we did. And everything else kind of got pushed to the side of dealing with everything else. And so I would go through periods of depression and anxiety basically my whole adult life. Obviously, there were times where it was worse than others, you know, like mild postpartum depression. I didn't really ever have it. A severe case of it. And then, you know, there would be other instances. And obviously, my husband works off for 3 weeks. And so I do spend 3 weeks without him, which obviously will make, you know, the depression kind of spiral at times, or the anxiety spiral at times, when I know you know, I'm going to have to go a long period of time with being the only person taking care of my kids and things like that. And, you know, during those periods, I would either try to sleep through it as much as I could or try to just have lazy days with the girls and just kind of chalk it up to I'm not going to get a lot accomplished. Or I would just ignore it and I would keep pushing through it. Sleeping through it was my way of dealing with my depression. Pushing through it was my way of dealing with my anxiety, which is what eventually I feel like pushed my anxiety to a breaking point. Was I just kept pushing, and I broke it. I feel like, and there are certain things that'll tip off my anxiety, and I would just ignore them and disregard them altogether. And it got to a point where I could barely drive. I could barely go into public. Shopping was really, really hard. Thank God for grocery pickup. grocery pickup actually started in the, maybe it was more towards when I was starting to get my anxiety under control, but golly, if I could have had that when my anxiety was at its worst about a year and a half ago, woo. But yeah, I mean, that's another, it seems silly, but picking up groceries is something that actually has helped me tremendously, because dragging three small kids through the grocery store for an hour and a half every week, that sounds awful at this point, because I'm so used to Walmart grocery pickup now. And, you know, the anxiety of keeping an eye on them and staying on budget, staying on the list, not losing any kids, just being in public in general, just all of that. So anyway, it just kind of got to a point where I woke up one day and there was no reason, there was nothing wrong, nothing specific happened. I honestly can't even remember exactly which day it was. I just know that it was right before Christmas. So in December, that would be 2 years ago. And I couldn't do anything. I felt so broken that I didn't even feel broken. And if you've ever experienced the kind of depression that I have, I'm sure that there are different experiences, but I felt so numb. I felt so broken. I felt so, my anxiety was broken to the point that I felt so anxious that I felt like I had tapped out my anxiety. I couldn't even feel depressed anymore. I felt nothing. I felt numb. And I couldn't sleep through it this time. I couldn't just ignore it this time. I couldn't do anything. And feeling emotionally numb, I think, was one of the hardest things for me. To feel emotionally numb, not only for my own self, because I don't know if you guys are like me, but as a wife and a mother, I'm lowest on my totem pole usually in priorities. And what finally pushed me to knowing that I needed help was feeling so numb emotionally towards my husband and my kids. I didn't want anybody to touch me. I didn't want to hug anybody. I didn't want to do anything physically with my husband. I remember right before Christmas, I was just really agitated and just on edge, and anything, my husband just looking at me was like, would set me off, would just be like, I would just lose all of it. And I remember telling my sister, I just feel like it's a waste of time. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, just any of it, like intimacy type things, in case you have little ears. I just feel like it's a waste of time. I just don't have time for it. I just don't. And she's like, okay, because that's not me. That's not our marriage. And that was one of her first like tipping points that like, things are not okay. And I remember specifically one day, and I remember this was one of the, this is one of the stories that I told my counselor on our first day of counseling, was I couldn't get off the couch. Daniel was at work, which is like, that's how all my most terrible stories start. Daniel was at work and I couldn't get off the couch. Could not get off the couch. Couldn't walk. My body was so heavy. And I had heard people say about depression that your body is heavy and it physically hurts. And I never fully understood, like I never had suffered from depression that much, that level of it. And so my living room was destroyed. The sink was full of dishes. The girls wanted lunch. And part of our routine is like we tidy up the house. We eat lunch. We take a nap. You know, and then we get up from nap time. We destroy the house again. And then, you know, tidy up, eat dinner, go to bed. And so we have this routine of we tidy up before we eat. And so I'm going to try to do this routine. I'm going to try to push through this. And because what is my worthiness if I'm not keeping the house clean, if I am not following the routine and getting up, making the lunch, washing the dishes, doing the things, like that is my worthiness. So even though I am completely tapped out emotionally and physically now, I still had to do that in my head. I still had to figure out how to get up, how to tidy up the living room, wash the dishes, and make the lunch. So I slid off the couch. I remember this. I slid down and crawled around on my hands and knees to clean up the living room. And when I did it, I picked up the living room like that. And I cried because it hurt to move. And I thought, well, I have to clean up. I have to clean up. And how will I explain to the girls that like we're off our routine and da, 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 da. And so I got up and I pulled myself together. I leaned on the counter to get enough dishes washed to make lunch and leaned on the counter enough to make lunch. And, you know, we ate lunch and I plopped back down on the couch and I pulled it together enough to survive the day. But that's all I did. And so my sister came over later that day and I told her, you know, kind of how my day had been because she could tell that obviously I was not okay. And I said, when do I know? Because she had kind of known, you know, that things had been off for a little while. And I said, when do I know that it's bad enough that I need help? And she said, right there. When you ask that question, that's when you need help. When you think, how bad do I let this get? You know, and I think about like as a like having a cold or something, or one of our kids is sick and we're like, okay, what can I treat with Tylenol and ibuprofen and, you know, a good bath and some essential oils and, you know, just a good sleep. What what's that? And where is the line to, okay, no, they need to go to the doctor. They need to get an antibiotic or whatever they need, you know, and we have that line. We're like, okay, if she's still sick by this time, in this many hours, I'm calling the doctor. You know, and we kind of, you know, as a mother, we have that line. Like, we draw that line somewhere. If she throws up one more time, we're going to the doctor. But it's easy for us to do that when it's our kids or when it's our husband. We're like, look, you've been sick for 3 days. You need to go. But when it's us and when it's something that you can't see, when it's not a, oh, we have a temperature, we have a fever, we have, you know, we're throwing up, like we're whatever, we have a rash or, you know, whatever it is. You can't see it, and it's us, not our kids. So we don't prioritize it. And so it's harder to know where that line is. Where do you draw that line of, no, I can stay home, I can treat this at home, or I actually need to go and I need to get help? When do you know that it's bad enough? When you think to yourself, when is it bad enough? That's when it's bad enough. And I knew my sister was right. Thankfully, I have a very wise 6 years younger than me sister. And I knew that she was right. And I knew that it was so much deeper than tidying up before lunchtime and making sure that the dishes were washed. I was emotionally cold and I felt very broken. And I think that that is, although it doesn't show on the surface, that's way more important than eating lunch with a messy living room. Because in the moment, that's what I was worried about. But ultimately, that wasn't the most important thing, right? I knew that I was not able to show up as the best mother and wife that I wanted to show up as. And for some reason, that's the breaking point. It's not the fact that we're not existing as a full human being, as a wholehearted woman and, you know, living in our purpose and fulfilling just our personal side of everything. For some reason, that gets a lower priority. But as soon as we can't show up as a mother or a wife, we're like, oh, ooh, something's wrong. I don't know why we do this. I don't necessarily have a solution. I just know that it's true. And all that I've been able to do at this point is recognize it and realize that, hey, I matter too. Showing up for myself matters too. Just because my children are louder at requesting it doesn't mean that I don't need to show up for myself and that I am worth showing up for myself, not just for them. Obviously, I have to show up for them and I have to show up for my husband, but I also have to show up for myself. And I had this point in this little window of time between feeling like that and actually getting help and all of that. There was a little window of time in there. And I thought, what is the point of living if I'm not useful to the people that I love? You know, I'm not useful to my kids. I'm not useful to my husband. I could barely work at that point. I was pushing through it, but honestly, there's a few videos specifically videos that I recorded during this time. And if y'all watch them, you probably don't notice anything different, but I can't rewatch them. I know which ones they are that I recorded during the worst, like darker times of this, the colder times of this. And not that it was fake, but it was, you know, I had a job to do. And I had people that I had to show up for, which is you guys. And I did my best. But it's still hard for me to go back and watch those videos because I know what I was going through during those times of kind of trying to figure this out. And I thought, you know, what is the point? What's the point of living? Because I feel so numb. And when I don't feel numb, I feel like I'm about to explode with anxiety. Those are my two choices of how I feel. That's a really dark place to be. Of feeling like those are your only two options. So at that point, I had two choices. Continuing to live that way was not one of them. And so I was kind of at this point where I was like, okay, I give up. And don't live anymore. And I thought, I can't do that, you know, my babies, and everything else. Or I drag myself to the doctor and I ask for help. And I didn't want to do that. And I cried. And I remember telling my counselor during our first meeting that I didn't want it to be this way, that I wanted to just pray my way out of it, that I tried, and that I tried to say affirmations, that I had tried to journal, that I had diffused every essential oil that I possibly could in hopes of healing myself. I wanted to count my blessings and say words of gratitude and feel better. And I wanted to look at my kids and think, you have three beautiful kids and you have an amazing husband and you have sisters who love you and support you and a mom who loves you and supports you. And you're so selfish for feeling numb, for feeling this way when you have all of these beautiful blessings right in front of you. You have this amazing life. Now, why don't you enjoy it? Now, why do you feel this way? Why is this not good enough for you? And I didn't have an answer for that. And I knew then and I know now that I'm so blessed. I am so, so blessed. And I am grateful for them. And I do love them. And I do see them. And I do appreciate them. And I know that they're amazing. My whole family. All my friends. Like, I know that. But that didn't fix what was going on inside my head. And I told my counselor, it's not them, it's me. And we're not going to come in here and have some underlying discovery of, oh, this is because your dad died 11 years ago. Or this is because of this and this that happened in your marriage. Or actually, you're, you know, beating yourself up because you're failing as a mother. No, none of that was true. Or you don't have a good support system around you. None of that was true. I told her that. I said, you know, I have all these amazing people. I have this great life. On paper, my life is perfect. Now, why do I feel so broken? And that's where I got stuck. That's where I got stuck. I should feel grateful. I should feel blessed. I should just be happy. Shouldn't it just be that easy? And she told me that a diabetic doesn't feel shame in needing insulin or asking for it or needing it to live a full life. And you have to realize that this is an illness. Like, this is real. This isn't something that you can just affirmation your way out of. This isn't something that you can just gratitude challenge your way out of. Yes, all of that is important, and that all does help. And I still do all that stuff. I still pray and meditate and do gratitude practices and, you know, diffuse essential oils and all of that stuff. Yes, that all helps. But you wouldn't tell someone with diabetes to just, well, you should just count your blessings and you'll feel better. You know, and when she put it on that level for me, I thought it just all made sense to me. And it was just so simple. And, you know, I didn't want to admit that I needed help. I didn't want to be broken. And I just kept saying that over and over and over again. I just don't want to be broken. I just don't want to be broken. I didn't want to admit that I wasn't Superwoman, that I couldn't just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I definitely didn't want medication. I think the medication was the hardest part for me. Another drink of coffee. And I remember crying after I got home from the doctor before I even filled my prescriptions. And I sat outside and I talked to my husband and I talked to my sister later that day. And I cried and I cried. I cried so much. And I just sat outside and I just thought about everything. I should have written my memoirs that day because I replayed my whole entire life and my whole entire future in that one day. And I told my husband, I don't want to be just another statistic in this American mental health crisis. And you read all these statistics and you see all these memes and they're like, well, it's because of social media. It's because of our cell phones, because we don't spend enough time outside. It's because of all the chemicals in our food and our everything. And, you know, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a prescription drug abuse problem or a mental health crisis. And all I could think was all those memes, all those articles, all those people posting all those things. And I didn't want to be one of those people that they were writing about. I didn't want to be just another statistic of someone who needed medication. And I thought, you're going to let that stop you from living your life, from getting the help you need to be the amazing mother that you know you are, you can be, and you were put on this earth to be. You're really going to let that people that don't even know you, don't even know your situation, you're going to let them write your story. You know, and it's one thing when it's just a story that you read online, but it's another thing when it's your real life. And I realized that this is my one and only life. and that my life is worth giving it my best shot. And as bad as I didn't want to need help, I needed help. And I wasn't going to hurt myself or hurt my kids or anything like that, but I was not showing up in the way that I knew that I was put on this earth to show up, you know? So I started taking Zoloft for my depression, and I was kind of okay with Zoloft. I had kind of like knew that was probably what they were going to put me on. And I was a little scared because, you know, you hear about the side effects, and that's always scary to me. And I'm not a medicine person. I am a person who will have a cold for like 2 days before I actually start taking medicine or have a headache all day long and still not take Tylenol. Try to push through it, or try to just drink more water, or, you know, try to take a nap or whatever it is. Like, I always, medication is not usually my first go-to. I just kind of, I don't like the idea of putting something foreign, it freaks me out. But I was kind of okay with Zoloft because I was like, okay, this will fix the depression. And then they said, you need Xanax for the anxiety and to help you sleep. And at this point, if you've heard me tell this part of the story before, my anxiety had gotten to the point that I was not sleeping very well. When I was sleeping, I was just holding a lot of tension in my neck and my left shoulder specifically, just my go-to shoulder to sleep on. And I just got to the point where I basically couldn't move my entire left arm, which is part of what drove me to go to the doctor, because I was like, my left arm is hurting, which is like, of course, the first thing you think is, my heart. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm having like heart trouble or whatever. So they said, well, the Xanax will help you with your anxiety, and it will also help you relax enough that you can sleep. And I started going to physical therapy for my neck and my shoulder. So as soon as I started feeling physically better, of course, I started sleeping better, which of course I started, you know, feeling better during the day, and that built on each other, on and on and on. But the Xanax was definitely the hardest for me. And I just kept thinking and kept saying, you know, people take this recreationally, like people abuse this, like people buy this when they don't really have a prescription. Like, this is something that people use for fun. Like, people don't use Zoloft for fun. Like, people don't go to physical therapy just for fun. People use Xanax just for fun. And that feels a lot like using a real drug to me. And, you know, I'm not that person anymore. I mean, you know, I was in college for 4 years. But me as a mom is not that person. Like, I'm a dance mom. I'm a soccer mom. Like, I talk about positivity online all day long. I watch Disney movies. I have been known to watch Disney or SpongeBob or My Little Pony when my kids aren't even in the room with me. Like, that's me. I'm pretty much the definition of basic. Right? So taking daily medication, admitting that I not only did I need Zoloft, but I also needed Xanax. That didn't really fit into the cookie cutter, like, 10-year plan that I had for my life. So I wasn't too thrilled about that, as you can probably imagine. And I cried and I went kicking and screaming into it. And I realized that being the mom who was physically stuck on the couch, who was emotionally cold, who couldn't even drive without having a panic attack, that person didn't fit into my 10-year plan either. And I didn't want to be the woman who couldn't show up for her life as the best version of herself. For herself, for her husband, for her kids, for everything. So I took the medicine, and it did take a little while for us to kind of get like the timing. At first I started taking it when I first woke up. Now I'm taking it at bedtime. I upped the Zoloft, I lowered the Xanax, and then eventually I started taking the Xanax every other night. There are some times where I take it every third day, which is the ultimate goal, is to get to every third day and then eventually not be on it at all. As soon as I feel like I can sleep regularly on my own and et cetera, et cetera. The physical therapy was just a few weeks. And the counseling, I just wrapped up almost a year of counseling. And that's kind of where I am now with all of that. And it was all worth it. And I am very blessed to have pretty good insurance. My insurance obviously doesn't pay 100% of my prescriptions. It paid a little bit of my physical therapy. I did have to go several times. I did have to get an MRI on my shoulder. I had to pay a good chunk of that. I had blood work done several different times. Like, there were several things that I had to pay out of pocket for. And I had to pay 100% of the counseling. My insurance didn't pay for the counseling at all. So that was $85 a visit. When I first started, I was going every week for several weeks. And then I was going twice a month, I think. And then towards the end, I was just going once a month. So that did get expensive. And it did obviously alter our plan, our financial plan. But, you know, and me being the more frugal one of the two, you know, I didn't want to spend that money on myself. I kept my hair long for years when I wanted it short because I didn't want to have to get a haircut every few weeks. Like, that's how frugal I am, to the point of like not even having my hairstyle the way I want it. So going to counseling and spending that much money on myself seemed really, really hard. And so I talked it out with my husband, and he said, look, you're no good to any of us if you're not here, like physically here or mentally here, which take your pick. But we need you here. We need you healthy. We want you healthy. And he pushed me to go, and I'm so, so thankful for that. You know, and I still struggle, and I still go through rough patches. And thanks to counseling, really, I have been able to be more vocal about it and been able to ask for what I need from the people in my life. And I still have to consciously prioritize my mental health, and I have to remember that if I lose myself, that I can't show up as the mother, the wife, the sister, the business owner, or just the human being that I want to be. And so I have to remember that I wasn't put on this earth on accident. I wasn't put here to just survive. And neither were you. You were not put here on accident. You were not listening to this on accident. You were not given whatever mission is in your heart on accident. Whether that is having babies, not having babies, opening a business, working for somebody else, you know, whatever. You were not given that mission and that desire, that purpose in your heart and in your soul on accident. You were not born on accident. Your life has a purpose. Your life is worth fighting for. It is. And that is at the root of everything that I talk about. That is at the root of why I made my new course, Control Your Crazy. Because this life is so, so important that we don't need to just survive it. We don't need to just be the person stuck on the couch, the person that is emotionally cold to the people that we love most. We don't need to be that person. We don't need to be the person that's so tangled up in our own crazy that we're not truly living. And so I know that it's taboo to say a lot of the things that I said. I know that it's not perfect to admit that I need help or that I had to get a prescription. And I wish that it wouldn't have had to be that way, but it was. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to pretend like it didn't happen. I'm not going to be shamed into the stigma of being broken or wrong or crazy. And I use crazy now very lightheartedly, but actually feeling crazy to the point that you feel broken is not a good feeling. So I do use it lightheartedly now in my Control Your Crazy course because I feel like we're all a little crazy. We all have our crazy, right? It's different for each of us. But we can feel a little crazy and still have it together. Like we can still show up, you know? And we are so, so worth fighting for. You are worth fighting for. And I just think that this message is just so important because I feel like if it helps one woman, and think about the trickle down. I think about that all the time. And I told my counselor this too because she knew about, you know, what I do and my podcast and my my blog and every, you know, my courses and everything that I do. And she loved that. Like she loved, you know, I would tell her, like, I remember when I went in the first time and I was like, okay, I told people like that I'm coming to counseling and it was several sessions in and she was like, I'm so proud of you. And she was like, you're going to help so many people. And it's not her helping me helps you, helps another person in your life or your kids or your spouse or whoever. And then they go on and they help other people. And I feel like this is how we, air quotes, fix the mental health crisis. Not by making it a stigma. And not by labeling people as broken because they asked for help. We support each other and we love each other through this dark time. We remind each other that we're worth it, that we love each other, we support each other, we're here for each other, we're praying for each other. It's just like the text message from my friend that I woke up to saying, I just wanted to let you know that I was thinking of you and the girls and I love you and I'm always praying for you. That is how we fix this. We remind each other that we are worth it, that we are worth showing up for. So I hope that speaks to you wherever you are on your journey. I know that we are all on our own journeys. We're all on our own journeys and we all, you know, have had different experiences, but we're not alone. We're on our own paths, but we're still walking side by side. So I just hope that that brings you encouragement. I would love, love, love for you to share this episode or share the post that I wrote. I have linked to it in the show notes. Or best of all, share your own post. Use the hashtag You're Worth It and share. You know, you don't have to tell every single little detail. You don't have to go into as much depth as I did. You know, you might have certain people that you don't want to know certain things, which is totally understandable. But even if you need to just text one of your friends, one of your girlfriends, your sister, your coworker, your neighbor, whoever, and say, I just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. And that I love you, I see you, and that you're worth it. All right? So that is all for me this week. Just such an important message that definitely deserved an hour, way more. Because you are worth an hour. You are worth an hour. You just invested an hour in yourself to boost your mood and to encourage you in your life. It's so important. It's so important. Okay. We have a really exciting next 3 months. So get excited. We are going to finish 2019 on a high note. We're not going to just like slide into the new year. We are going to do this right. We are going to get some stuff done before the year is over. I hope that you're up for it. I am so excited. Again, check out the show notes. Check out Control Your Crazy. You guys, if any of this message resonated with you, like, the course is for you. Trust me. Go and check it out if you're not already enrolled. We're going to be digging in more and more and talking about different topics. So it'll only help you more if you are in the course, you have the workbooks, you have the videos and all that good stuff. All right, you guys, I'm going to go. I will talk to you guys next week. All right. Bye, guys.